If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 11, Luke chapter number 11. It's been a lot going on this morning in church. It's been a great day. Luke chapter 11, and here we go. Luke 11. And here we go. We do have the air on just a little bit. It was a little stuffy. Some people were fanning. So the heat's not on, so it ought to be adjusting just about right. How many men are okay with the temperature? How many men? Okay, that's all that matters. So let's... Excuse me. How many ladies are uncomfortable? Okay, one. Someone help this lady over here. All right, everyone's happy but her. Luke chapter number 11, please, in the Gospels. Notice what it says. And it came to pass, as he was praying, that's talking about Jesus, in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Okay, well, everyone looking at the Bible or looking this way, let's make sure we don't have any cell phones out. That's if you're a teenager, a child, an adult. Guess what? I don't have mine in my hand. I don't have it on me. It's in my office. This is more important than any cell phone message or any app or any text or anything. And if you're on call, you don't want to go into work anyway. So just tell them you didn't see it. And so here's Jesus. He's praying. And his disciples said, would you teach us how to do that? They never asked how to do miracles. They never asked him how to walk on water. They never asked him how to multiply a lunch. They never asked him how to raise the dead. But one activity Jesus did, it caught the attention of his 12 disciples. And they said, we sure wish we could do that. And it was prayer. They heard him pray and said, would you teach us how to do that? It's what astounded them more than any other activity. And then let's look over to Mark chapter 1 for a moment. Just one book back, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1. And we see after Jesus has now been baptized. He's been tempted by the devil. He resisted. He has now healed people. He has preached. He has taught in the synagogues. He is busy. Now you think of the most famous person you could think of right now on earth or someone famous to you. If they walked into a crowd, people would want to touch them, selfies, have time with them, talk to them, get autographs. Now try this. Raise the dead and see if people don't want to hang with you. Heal someone who's blind or who has leprosy and see if there's not a crowd starting to be around you. Everywhere Jesus went, he had no time alone, no time to himself. They wanted to ask him a question. They had a need. Someone needed to be healed. Someone needed to accept God's forgiveness. They wanted to hear him preach. Everyone wanted a piece of Jesus. It was like piranha hour all the time. And so notice this little passage in Mark chapter 1 and looking down into verse number 32. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased. So every hospital emptied out, every clinic, every institution, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers or various different diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Now, how do you keep that pace? By the way, that was 3.5 years, nonstop, nonstop. Amen. He got on a boat with his disciples just to go to the other shore, a lake about the size of Clear Lake. So just several miles, they get on the other side. There's a crowd of people waiting for him. Everywhere he went. He was the celebrity of celebrities. He didn't even have to have a last name. Are you going to see Jesus? Jesus who? You know, just Jesus. But notice this next verse. This will be the text, and then we'll talk about it a little bit today. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So how was Jesus able to give out all the time? Here's the secret. Because he got alone and he took in. Every parent is giving out. Every grandparent is giving out. Every worker and laborer is giving out. Every student is giving out. The secret, you got to get alone. You got to take in. Amen. So you can give out. Amen. And then you got to get alone and take in so you can give out. You ever been to the place where you said, Lord, if you don't come through for me, I'm not going to make it. I've got to have you. Come on, Lord. And you begged him. And he answered. Then you gave out. You can't forget where you got that. Because if you don't take in, you're going to give out. In the wrong way. Notice the rest of this little passage. And I have to hurry. It says, verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Hey, where you been, Jesus? Everyone's looking for you. The urgent versus the important. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns. I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Father, bless now the brief time we have. Help us say something that would help these people, teenagers all the way up to adults and grandparents. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here it is, Adam and Eve. God had a planet. God did not need anybody. God is not insecure. He does not have a low self-esteem. He does not need anyone to praise him. He is not lonely. You know, I wish there were some people. I guess I'll make some. It wasn't like that. God created the human race so he could share his greatness and who he was with them. And have something we call fellowship. He didn't just make Adam and say, good, I got a hard worker, till the ground. He didn't make Adam just to work. He made him to fellowship and talk with him. And God spent time every day with Adam and with Eve fellowshipping. Sin destroyed that because of sin. God could no longer communicate with them until they confessed it and got it right. But that's his goal for all of us. It's to have a special relationship with us. Heard about a little child. He was out in the woods alone and somebody walked through the woods and they heard a little voice. They heard A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Someone reciting the alphabet. And the person says, excuse me, little boy, what are you doing? He says, mister, I don't know how to pray. So I'm just saying the alphabet. I'm hoping God can put it together and make it a prayer. I love that. Sometimes kids know more about God than we do. Heard about a little child. He was drawing a picture in class. And the teacher said, draw anything you want. And she said, son, what's that picture? He said, I just drew a picture of God. And the teacher said, no one knows what God looks like. He said, now they do. So what was special about Jesus? How did he end up with this strength to keep healing at that pace? How do you keep running as fast as he ran? He had a time and he had a place. He had an appointment with his heavenly Father to get strength. And it was a certain place. Get this. It said when he went out, they said, we don't know where Jesus is. But later on it says they knew where to find him. He had an appointment where he spent time with the Lord. By the way, if Jesus needed time with God to get strength, I sure bet you and I do. Amen. Important things get done. We all have the choice. Urgent, important. Well, all these things need to get done. Well, and they're urgent. But the greatest thing to get done is your time with the Lord. We hear that song, before I start each day, there is a special place I love to go alone and see my Savior's face. It gives me strength and power to obey. You've got to have that special time. You say, what's it do to you? It gives you joy. It gives you strength, physical strength. It will give you a lack of stress and a lack of worry. It will give you wisdom. It will give you a backbone to stand up for right. Because when you've been spending time with the one who is right and is righteousness, it just kind of rubs off on us. So special. How did Jesus make it? He had a time and he had a place. He got up before the distraction started. He had an appointment with God Almighty, spent time with him. By the way, interesting. You study the life of Jesus. Oft times he was in a mountain alone praying. The Mount of Olives. The night before his crucifixion, he's in a garden of Gethsemane on his face praying. And on and on. It was his lifestyle. It's got to be our lifestyle. Young people, you will never make it in this evil day in which we live. You'll never make a difference in our world. You'll never have a backbone to stand against the crowd if you don't spend time alone with the Lord. If you kneel before God, you'll stand before men. It just comes. And so we see, thanks a lot. See if you clap later when I get on this next point. I'm just kidding. A time and a place. Let me ask you, do you have a time? Where's your prayer place? If we videoed you the next 24 hours, would we find you taking God's word and sitting down somewhere or on your app or phone or however you do it and perusing through God's word? Would we find you praying, Lord, speak to me. I need your guidance. Thy word's a lamp to my feet. I need some help in my decision. Help me now. I'm reading. I'm paying attention. I've even got my ink pen out. Look. Would we find you kneeling or walking or driving and commuting or walking around the block, crying out and spending time with the Lord? We've got to have it. We've got to have it. You can know this whole book backwards and forwards. You can know just about when Jesus is coming back and the Antichrist and all the eschatology and all these other big words. But if you don't know the one who wrote the book, you're not going to make it. We have to have it. This world is too negative. It's too wicked. It's too evil. We need God's help. We need his presence. We can't walk alone. We have to sense he's right there by our side. And you get that by spending time alone with him. So, they knew where to find him. By the way, let me just say this. I've met a few famous people. Famous is kind of past tense. You know, people are newly famous. I name someone, you say, who's that? And then some of you teenagers name someone else, say, who's that? I hadn't even met Mario yet. The computer game. Okay, I hadn't even met him. I was in Governor Train's office, governor of Louisiana, years ago. I picked up Jerry Falwell from the airport. He was a very famous political leader for a long time. Thomas Kincaid, I was at his birthday party. My wife and I got to go. He was 50, most famous painter or artist in American history. I got to be on the airplane with Carl Lewis, the Olympic star. Handed the stewardess, I said, give him this gospel track. A couple minutes later, she hands it back, he autographed it. I didn't want his autograph, I wanted to give him a track. Soupy Sales, you remember? Hollywood Squares. I sat by Soupy Sales on the airplane. Donovan, they call me Mellow Yellow. He was sitting behind me. He was Buddhist. Eric Estrada, Chips, got to talk to him in the airport. He took a selfie of me and him. How come? Because I said, I don't know how to do this. Here's my camera. He took the selfie. Wrote me a little note to my friend and autographed it. And I'll sell it to you if you give me enough money. Joe Gibbs, the coach of the Washington Redskins. I was in his office 40 minutes, got to hold the Super Bowl trophy. Many people thought I had won it. Tom Landry, coach for the Dallas Cowboys, had a 7-minute phone interview with him in the day before he passed away in the 80s. But guess what? It's just humans. The one who made all those people, I got to spend time with this morning.
Amen.
He didn't put me on hold. He didn't snub me. He didn't say I'm too busy. I said, good morning, Lord. And he says, I'm right here. What do you need? I know it's a busy day. He wants time with you. The most famous person that's ever lived. The one that created the planet you live on. He says, I got time for you. If you got time for me. Oftentimes I ask people, I say, do you have a cell phone? And that's a dumb question these days. Sure, I got a cell phone. Do you have a charger? Yeah, I got a cell phone charger. I said, there you go. Your spirit is the cell phone. God is that cell phone charger. If you don't plug in, you run out. And too many people need you for you just to plug in 5 minutes a day. Usually I have to have mine go all night long to get a full charge because I'm texting, I'm calling, I'm answering phones, people in the hospital, people dying, people got problems. I'm trying to help people. I got a charge. We're all needed by somebody. You ever wonder why sometimes God keeps us kind of needy? You know, I wish he'd just give us all like $10 million so we'd never have to pray again. You know, wouldn't that be nice? Lord, I get tired of asking for rent. Lord, I get tired of asking for gas money. I get tired of asking for clothes and shoes. Lord, I get tired of this and I need this and college money. And that. Lord, just dump it on me. He said, I would never hear from you again. That's why sometimes the Lord will give us just enough to get by, and then he keeps you needy. And man, we need, man, I guess I'm going to pray about this. And he goes, just like I like. That's why in the wilderness, he dropped down manna, enough bread to feed them that day. And then the next day, Lord, when are you going to? Here it comes. He kept them needy. It is just our nature. When we're not needy, we don't spend much time for him. I guarantee you. Most of us in this room, we spend more time with the Lord during our valleys, our down times, when someone's dying at a funeral, during times of grief, during times of divorce, during arguments, during split ups, during heartbreak, during the wayward children. That's when we get alone and we spend all this time. I need you. He goes, oh, really? Hadn't heard from you in a while. I'm right here. That's what he does. Now, quickly, the Bible says Jesus went out apart and prayed. The word pray, the real name means this. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I was going to do a wedding, I'm sorry. But the word pray means this, ask. Ask. Now, we can thank the Lord, we can praise the Lord, we can brag on him. He likes that, but that's not prayer. The word prayer means ask. The root word. So what does God want us to ask for? The Bible spells it out. He says, I got some things I want you to ask me for. What are those things? So when you do pray, you know, these are things definitely God wants me to ask for. I want to give them to you, and that's the message today. We'll preach on child rearing maybe next week. Okay, number one, wisdom. James 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if any among you lack wisdom, and to me that's a very humorous Bible verse. What do you mean? Is there anybody that lacks wisdom? Compared to God, we all lack wisdom. Amen. Hey, I know all about marriage. I've been married, Shaw, how many days you've been married, Shaw? Oh, 8 days. How many of you think it's downhill from there? Come on now, look at all the hands. Hey, he knows more about marriage now than he ever will. Because now it's going to be less and less and less and less. About the time he says, I know about marriage. Ava's going to say, no, you don't. His wife. So here it is. What does God want us to ask for? Wisdom. Lord, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do about this? I don't know how to raise this child. What books am I supposed to read? Who am I supposed to seek counsel from? Lord, I don't know about this career decision. What do you want me to do? Lord, should I have this surgery? Should I not? Should I do this? Should I not? Should we stay? Should we move? What are we supposed to do? Ask Him. Get alone. Lord, you're smarter than me. I don't have all the answers. I don't want to mess up my life. What am I supposed to do? That's what He wants you to say. Ask Him for wisdom. Now, I want to say this to the teenagers. If it's final exams and you didn't study, He ain't hearing your prayer. One kid brought home his test paper, had an F on it, and his dad said, "Son, a F, how close were you to a D?" He said, "About five seats over." Number two, quickly, what are we supposed to ask Him for? Our needs. Our needs. We're to ask Him for what's called daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. What are those needs? Shoes, health, food, clothing, shelter, jobs, an automobile that doesn't do this. One that actually goes places. Man, we got three cars, Pastor. We don't need God. Do any of them run? Okay. Needs. You say, "Well, I just feel terrible asking God for something." He owns everything. He's wealthy. He's rich. The Bible says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in every hill, in all the mines. He has everything. He doesn't mind giving some of it to you. God is not a pauper. He's not poor. He doesn't want His children just to live on bread and water. Ask Him. Number three, forgiveness. He says, "Forgive us our debts." What's He want us to ask Him for? When we sin, when we know it, we're to ask Him to forgive us. Excuse me. And what that means is, "Lord, I'm not going to keep doing it. I am sorry I did this with Your help. I never want to do this again. Please forgive me." Amen. When you do that, you wake up with a clear conscience every morning. It doesn't pile up. And you're only drifting from God one day at most. Heard about these two preachers. They had preached at churches together and they'd split a motel. One of the preachers, before he went to bed, he'd go in the restroom. He's in there just a little bit. Toilet would flush. Next night, same thing. And the roommate said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm confessing my sins." "What?" "I go in the bathroom. I write them down on a little 3x5 card, confess them, and flush them down." "Wow." That last night, he was in there a long time. He said, "Doc, you okay?" He was trying to be funny. He said, "You okay?" He was in the bathroom a long time. "You must have sinned a lot." He said, "No, I was confessing your sins." We better learn to say the words, "I'm sorry." Amen. In any relationship, marriage, child rearing, business, friendship, if you can't say those words, you'll never have a lasting relationship. And if you can't say those words to your Heavenly Father, you will never feel close to Him. "I'm sorry." You say, "Well, God will be shocked if I confess my sins." He already saw them. Number four, what are we supposed to ask for? What are we supposed to pray about? Next, our leaders. Our leaders. 1 Timothy 2, the Bible says, "Prayer for kings and for all in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life." What's that mean? Anybody you sense is over you as a leader. If you're married, you got a leader. One is leading, the other one is following. Even if it's a 50-50 marriage, someone is the leader. You're supposed to pray for them. You got a teacher in school, you're supposed to pray for that teacher. You have a boss, you're supposed to pray daily for your boss. You live in America, you've got leaders, president, vice president, ex-president, speaker of the house, governor, mayor. We've got people we are to be praying for by name. God commands that. Say, how come? He said that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. When you pray for leaders, you get along with them better. Well, my husband, start praying for him. Well, my parents, start praying for them. this teacher at school, but start praying for them. That's commanded. Did you pray for our president this morning? It's commanded. Did you pray for our governor? You know, if we would pray more for them than criticize them, God may do something in their hearts. Just a thought. I'm sorry to bring up the Bible. Number next, quickly, our enemies. What are we supposed to pray for? Our enemies. The Bible says in Matthew 5, Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So if you're going to have a prosperous life, believe it or not, there's going to be somebody, and this is going to be a shocker. Some of your dentures are going to fall out. There's going to be somebody on planet Earth that does not like you. I'm sorry to shock you. You said, Pastor, I got 15 likes on my page on Facebook. I got 15 likes. It's just been on there just about 10 or 12 years. It's good. You're doing real good. There's going to be someone who gives you a hard time. Ex-mate. A parent. Brother, a sister, a co-worker, a neighbor. An ex-friend. Someone that unfriended you or you unfriended years ago. Maybe you separated the relationship. Ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, and now their whole life is to trash you and your reputation. You know how you're going to get through that? Pray for them. And I don't mean, dear Lord, help a Mack truck run them over today in Jesus' name. We'll give you all the glory. That's not what we're saying. You think maybe sometimes God lets hard things happen in our lives? So we trust his word instead of our feelings. Let me see. There was someone nailed on a cross. I forget the whole story. He's bleeding. People are spitting on him. There's a crowd that's laughing at him. Wonder what he said. Father, forgive them. And it wasn't once they apologized. They never did apologize. The people that have hurt you may never get it. They may never know how deep that pain was. They don't have to. Forgiveness is not a two-way street. It's a one-way street. It is for you. As you pray for someone, God takes that hate and turns it into pity. I pity that person. What a miserable creature. And then he turns pity into like. You know, there's a couple things you could like about that person. And then he turns like into love. It may take time. Quick story. When we moved here, we had no money. We'd sold our 3-bedroom brick house. We made about $6,000 equity. I couldn't be there to sign the papers. I gave power of attorney to the realtor, who had been our realtor like 6 months, never showed the house, never anything. They said, look, I'll just give you all the money, forget it, I'll sign the papers. We move here. They sign the papers. I get a call. You know, I have worked very hard for you guys. So my fee is all the equity. I didn't have money to hire a lawyer. I didn't have money to fly back, claim that money. I had no money. I couldn't even get back. We didn't have a paycheck here. $5,000 isn't a whole lot now. It was a whole lot back then. You know what we had to do, my wife and I? We got little voodoo dolls. Made one No. It looked just like her too. No. We started kneeling down by the bed at night, calling her name in prayer, saying, God, I don't know why she'd do this to us. There's nothing else we can do. Would you help her? Help us not hate her. Remove this bitterness and this anger toward her and do something. I can't even remember her name anymore. God does that. That's why God says, let me give you a list of things to pray for. Why? He doesn't want your mind all messed up in anger and bitterness and hatred toward people. He wants you to serve him. You can't have it all clogged up like that. What are we supposed to pray for? Quickly, laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Any church doing anything for God never has enough workers. They never have enough workers in the nursery, in the Sunday school, in the bus ministry, in the ushering, in the choir, in the music ministry, in the soul winning. They never have enough workers. So God says, when you pray, ask me. I'll put it on someone's heart. I'll send somebody. Do you pray for laborers? Next. We're to pray for our weak areas. He says, and lead us not into temptation. Now, every one of us has a different weakness. Mine is playing in the NFL. It's just always been a weakness of mine, either be a pastor or play in the NFL. It's just such a battle. No, I'm kidding. Hey, how about the Niners? Miracle. God still allows miracle. Unbelievable. So anyway, hey, if the Saints aren't going to win it, let's jump ship and root for somebody else. So here we are. All of us have a weakness. Maybe it's cussing. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's smart aleck attitude. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's alcohol. But each of us has something we battle more than other things. God wants us to pray for his help every day in that area. Amen. Lord, I'm not asking you to make me perfect, but just give me victory today. Give me victory today. You know what my weakness is, and I need your help on this. I don't know if we're going to make... I have to whip this thing. Help me just today. Amen. What are we to pray for? Quickly. The lost. The lost. Paul said, my prayer for Israel, Romans 10:1, is that Israel may be saved. In Romans chapter 9, Paul said this, I would count myself accursed for my nation's sake. Here's what that verse means. Paul said, I would gladly die and go to hell and burn forever if everybody in my country got saved. He's got a lot more compassion than I do. Amen. Paul said, you know, my number one heart's prayer is that people would be saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody that's not received Christ as their Savior yet? Is it someone you associate with, play ball with in the neighborhood? Is it a cousin? Is it a relative? Is it a neighbor, co-worker, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister? Is it someone down the street, someone you work with, someone you go to school with? Is there someone you know that if they died right now, they'd be burning in hell forever? They've never been forgiven. Are you praying for them? Does anyone on earth even call their name out in prayer? God's commanding us. When you pray, get calling some people's names out. God, he's not willing that any should perish. What does God want you to pray for? Everything. Just all day long. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too big. Everything. I pray for parking spaces. Lord, my knee really hurts. It'd be bad if the pastor had to walk a long way to the entrance of this store. Come on now, give me a parking spot. Help somebody pull out close to the front. I do that. Sometimes God answers, sometimes he says, you need more exercise. I'm about done. Here we go. What are we to pray for? We're to pray for us to be saved. It's an amazing thing. The Bible says, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. How someone gets saved is, of course, through Jesus' death on the cross. He paid the debt. His blood was shed. He died. God took all the sins of the world, put them on Jesus. He became our substitute. If you were the only sinner in the world, he'd have died just for you. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he was really God, not just a man. He's in heaven now building mansions. Now that's his part. He paid the debt. Our part is receive. How do we do that? From our heart, we believe. He's the only way to heaven. It's not church. It's not baptism. It's not a good life. It's not communion. It's not confession. It's just him. So we do that from our heart, but it says, but with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. And he says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Really, it's a prayer. You know, we're inviting, we're asking him to come in our heart and forgive us. Two stories and I'm finished. I was visiting in a city not far from here. kind of a rough neighborhood. It's by myself. Wasn't afraid. And I come up on this yard. It doesn't have a blade of grass in it. It's got this tree and it's not a lot of sunlight gets there. Plus they had the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. I think it was a cross between a mastiff, if that what you call it, mastiff, and a Great Dane and a Chihuahua or something like that. But I mean, it was just huge. And I start to walk up to the chain link fence and I see bones in the yard and they resemble human remains. Really. Years ago, I would just open the fence and trust the Lord, walk in. Now I got more sense. And so I looked at that fence. I saw this great big old guy. I'm not exaggerating. He was at least 6'6". Big guy. Looked like an NFL player. And I said, hey. He says, yeah, it's all right. He won't bite you. The dog was on this chain. I said, no, that's all right. He goes, no, it's okay. Come on in. Really. And then he yelled. I said, what's your name? And he said, Percy. And then that dog started growling, salivating, and that's not even a word, salivating. That dog put his paws together, thank you for this food we're about to eat, as I'm starting to come in the yard. And then he says, shut up, Percy! The man's name was Percy. The dog's name was Percy. Leaving it alone. I start witnessing to him, talking about church, ask if you died today, would you go to heaven? I don't know, would you like to hear it? Sure. I held the Bible. He was so tall, I didn't hold it down here. He'd have had to kneel. I held it up like this. See that verse? Yeah, I see it. Went through the gospel. I said, so Percy, have you ever done that? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you remember where and when it was? No, never done it. Where would you go if you died? Said, I'd go to hell. Is that what you want? No, it's not. You believe the Lord would save you. He said right there, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, what I got to do? I said, all you have to do is ask him. And then what happened next, I'll never forget. He just looked up and said, come in! That was it. I said, what? He said, you said if I asked him. I just did. Come in! I said, well, that meets the criteria. I said, so who just got saved? He said, I did. I said, that's wonderful. Sometimes we complicate it. A thief on the cross, he's dying, about to go to hell. His feet are probably feeling the flames of fire, hearing the demons laugh. He's nailed about 6 inches away from the Savior. He looks over, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said, today you'll be with me. In paradise. He asked. He prayed. Done with this. So years ago, only the old timers would know. So if you're over 50, you would understand the story. If you're under 50, forget you. Okay. There was a old television show. It was pretty well watched. The star was from Greece. It was called Kojak. Kojak, the bald hair. Anyway, bald. They used to call him the Chrome Dome. He's on a plane. The plane's about to take off to fly and land in Greece. Someone in first class recognized the famous movie star. Kojak. And he said, excuse me. What was his real name? Somebody know? Okay, Telly Savalas. He said, Mr. Savalas. He said, you have put our country back on the map. Thank you for your acting career. We're so proud of you. Before we take off, could I just ask you a couple things? Savalas looked at him and said, no, and I appreciate it. The man said, really, I won't take up much of your time. You know, we're on the same flight. It's a long flight. He goes, I said no. Do I have to get an attendant or something? Buzz off. Leave me alone. passenger said, very well. He sat in his first seat. They're finally getting close to landing. If you're going to the restroom or getting up for anything else, please do that now before we turn the seatbelt. He gets up again. He said, Mr. Savalas, I really admire you and all that you've done for our nation. Could I just ask you a couple things? I don't want to be a pain or bother you. I said, buzz off. Passenger sat down. They landed. Savalas looked out the windows, saw all the television crews, all the cameras, all the networks there. Savalas looked out the window and said, I hate this. Everywhere I go, they're here. I don't get any time to myself. The plane landed, taxied. They opened the door. Savalas grabbed his briefcase, started to head out. The steward said, excuse me, no one deplanes before the king of Greece. That's when the other passenger got off. It was the king of Greece. Mr. Savalas, could I ask you something? I don't want to bother you. Can I just ask you something? The news cameras were there for the king of Greece, not Savalas. And here's the news. There's someone a whole lot more famous than the king of Greece that's tapping you on the shoulder this week. Hey, sir, ma'am, young person, collegiate, single parent, granddaddy, grandma, I know you're busy, and I know you got a lot on your plate, but you got a few minutes. I'd really like to talk to you. What have you been saying to him lately? He loves you. He wants time with you, not for what it does for him, what it's going to do for you. Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, today's the day you could receive Him. It's just that simple. It won't make you a member of a church. It won't make you a Baptist or a Christian. It will make you a child of God on your way to heaven. Let me ask you, is there a time and a place where the Lord will be waiting tomorrow and you'll be showing up, just you and Him? If not, I hope you'll make that. And then is there something you're supposed to be asking Him for? I gave you 10 things today. Is there something you've been missing that God says, ask me for this? Because He wants you to have it. In a moment, we'll have an invitation. In a moment, the pianist will play. We'll allow people to come to the front to pray. If you have a need, something in your heart you want to ask the Lord for, you're welcome to come. If you've never been saved, we'll have workers at the front with Bibles. They'll be glad to explain it. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized yet, you'd like to go all the way for the Lord, you could do that today. Whatever the need, He says, come ask me. Come boldly, come ask. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time. Thank you for the Bible.